You'd have to walk 1,000 miles to see a better performance from Ufuk Talay Sydney FC on the weekend. But unfortunately for Ante Juric's women's team, you'd want to walk back the 1,000 miles the other way barefoot after a horrid week of results. Sydney FC men notched up their 1,000th goal in all competitions. And despite the bookies heavily backing Joe Lolley, Robbie Mack, Jaden Kucharski, Fabio Gomez, or, you know, a proven goal scorer, it was none other than Jolberto Quinhos smashing home a half volley on the second attempt past Danny Vukovic's outstretched right arm. The performance came despite another atrocious pitch at Allianz Stadium after 3 games of rugby the previous 2 days, which left 1,000 questions once again about the future of Sydney FC at its spiritual and traditional home of Moore Park. It's been about 1,000 days since we released a podcast, guys, so let's get into it with Michelle, Sean, and soon-to-be Jules making a return from a long injury layoff, the Jack Rodwell of Sky Blue Stories, if you will. Michelle, on a scale of 1 to I fucking hate the Melbourne victory, how are you feeling today?
The latter. I
right
am.
Up the end.
Oh man, oh, it's not even just
you
Melbourne
just...
victory. It's Rachel Lowe. It's Rachel Lowe. I've never felt so triggered in my life.
Woof, fucking snake.
Woof. Woof indeed.
Did you almost go over the balcony at Leichhardt Oval there? And
yeah, I don't know. Did you see me?
No, I saw you a little. I feel like you've just come, look, just for context, you've just come from a boxing session. So like, did you have your fists up? Were you ready?
I kind of put it behind me for the moment. Because I am taking this boxing seriously, and so I'm trying to be like no emotions.
Very good.
But oh man,
I was about to show
what I've learned.
Is Rachel the one like you've bumped into on the Manly concourse and stuff like that?
The one that I was so nice to, mind you, I was so nice to her. I was like, listen, like I understand, you know, good luck with your new club, blah blah blah.
And it's not normal for you to be nice, like, you know.
No, I'm a terrible person.
All right, you're going to fuck her up next time you bump into her.
Next time I see her in Manly, it's on.
Sleeping with the fishes.
Tell you what. And Sean, on a scale of, I don't know, 1 to Joel King is the greatest goal scorer in Sydney FC history, how are you?
Don't. No.
Closer to one or...?
I'm somewhere. I didn't like that he scored the 1,000th goal, but
his first goal.
It was so underwhelming. I'm glad we won. Like it was a very good game. Being there on Saturday night with a couple of the lads, it was more about the first goal, and I miscounted. I thought that was the 1,000th goal. I thought, oh, AC, how fitting, and it was such a lovely goal too. Lovely work by Lolly beforehand, but AC was
both lovely goals.
Yeah, it was the second one was all right. You know, 2 bites.
They were both lovely goals. The first one was very, very good. We've got a lot to cover because we haven't been on for a couple of weeks. Sadly, we do have to trudge through the A-League Women's of the last 7 days, which Michelle will help us out with. Jules will join us very shortly. But without further ado, Sean, let's throw to you. Let's go and talk about around the grounds. What's happening?
And around the grounds, Jada and Courtney headed into Tilly's camp, which Michelle sure will follow closely over the coming days and weeks.
Please, she already wants them to come back.
Please, 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 please. No injuries. Nothing to come of it. Michelle, pray to, say
all the Chile, football gods.
Yeah, all the football gods, Vishnu, everyone, nothing happens. But look, they have a nice camp. They continue to be fit. They come back firing for us. And look, maybe after 2 losses, having quite a time off between the end of the A-League season, start of the semi-finals, might actually be good for the girls just kind of reset, get going again and put all that shit behind them, which was ordinary end of the season, very anticlimactic.
It'll be interesting to see how Jada and Courtney then take a look at M. Gilnick after the stunt that she pulled with Shea Connors at the game,
What is up Gilnick's person at the moment? She's raging.
Well, apparently, so my friend has a theory that she's just sexually frustrated because she's away from her wife.
Oh dear. Are you allowed to say that on a podcast, Michelle?
I don't know. You tell me.
Hey, this is Sky Blue Stories. We do what we want. Clearly something's up.
That someone had.
Yeah, a friend of a friend of mine. But she's on the warpath, that's for sure. If I was Tony G, I'd probably be putting her on the pitch, to be honest, because she's going to fuck someone up. But anyway.
I actually disagree. I think that she should not be rewarded and she should not be called up to the Matilda squad.
Well, she shouldn't have been fucking playing against Sydney on the weekend, let's be honest.
Well, there's that for one.
anyway, sorry, Sean.
John, the next point I thought, you know, can kind of pass to you to talk to with our young fellas in a very prestigious under-19s tournament, almost taking it out, going against the ends against, the mighty Everton. No surprise in European football.
That's it, but it wasn't just that, Sean. Like, it wasn't let's go over, play a couple of games, a couple of friendlies and you know, come home. Like, Sydney took a 20-player squad, that basically had an average age of 17 and a half or something, playing in an under-19s tournament against, some of Europe's best academies with, Mönchengladbach, Everton, as you said, Mons, Jules's team was there, Union Berlin were in the other group. So, and the boys thrived, absolutely thrived. With I think they got 3 wins out of 4 in their group or something like that. 3 wins,
9 points,
and a loss. Beat Mönchengladbach in the semi final, and then, like you said, lost to Everton in the final. But outstanding opportunity for all of those guys, really. And we saw, thankfully, NPL New South Wales, gave us the bye on the weekend for the NPL comp. So, we've seen over the years Sydney get absolutely rooted in terms of scheduling and missing players and everything. But the fact that this was done and the results were brilliant, really, 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 really positive stuff.
Well, yeah, without jumping to conclusions about what could happen over the tournament, it's just great experience for the lads. Put Sydney FC on the map, kind of says, like, we might be the other side of the world down under, but, we play some good football down here. And, like we've seen with there's a few of the more recent lads that have gone overseas on loan. Jono, remind me.
Rolly St. John.
Yeah,
Max Fartuli.
The other one, NPL striker.
Alan Habas.
That's the one. But, some of these young kids, now might find themselves on the radar of these kind of clubs might find themselves going on loan themselves in the next year or two. You never know. There's great
100%. Like, it's great to see the investment from Sydney as well in going. That's a huge investment to send 20 players, and you've got the coaching staff as well and health and fitness and everything else. But at the end of the day, it's an investment in the club as well, because like you said, Sean, say a Jacob Brazette, gets picked up, or one of the other guys, like the trip could almost pay for itself. And the fact that they did so well, guess what? We're going to turn heads and... they're going to get an eye on them. So brilliant all around. Fantastic from the club.
Speaking of young, talented players, say it ain't so. You've a source, S-O-U-R-C, a source close to Stargirl, Maddie Caspers, out for the season, out for a month, contradicting messages.
So, I asked... asked a friend, a mate, whether he was coming out to watch the girls on Saturday to see Maddie, because there is a bit of a connection there. And got a text back probably an hour before kickoff saying, no, mate, she's out for the season. I then checked the lineup, and sure enough, I think it said Maddie Caspers misses with a thigh injury. She was there signing autographs, which is a good sign. So she's not incapacitated. But who knows? Maybe the load of, you know, almost full-time footballers has caught up with Maddie. And yeah, I mean, we've got 3 weeks till the game now, so I think there is some hope. But yeah, the message through that I got was that we won't see Maddie again this season.
I did hear as well that she's a bit injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
And that
Lucy Johnson levels.
I'm not sure. I don't think anyone's at that level. Jules just comes back for that.
Am I right, Jules?
Can I step in here?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, Jules.
Fresh head.
No, it's all good. We're just really good at signing crocs, aren't we? Just in general.
Wow.
I think with Maddie, it's different as well. Like she, you know, she's 17 and she was playing in the under 20s or under 23s over in Uzbekistan. So she's had to go. She's been playing pretty much every game here, starting, playing in full 90, and then went overseas from summer, middle of summer, to then middle of winter, literally playing in the snow, then coming back to middle of summer. There's just a lot for the body. And
100%.
And if she's already prone to getting injuries, like this was probably bound to happen at some point. I guess maybe it's a good thing that it's at the end of the season for her so that she can recover properly.
Yeah. And not to put
like
too much.
More of a load. Yeah, like a load management thing, to be honest. Like they should. They. I mean, I don't know what I would have thought they'd definitely look at that sort of stuff, but especially the type of injury that can, you know, her, like you said, Michelle, her
got told weeks, not months. So that's a good thing.
That's good.
But yeah, we'll see. I think you're right, though. I think it could be a load thing, and exactly as Michelle said. But you know, it's a big loss, huge loss. I think when Maddie debuted, even though she was so young, you know, she fought for absolutely every ball and really helped turn our season, you know, around, get on a bit of a winning streak and get us up the table. So, yeah, it's going to be a big loss to not see her again in the semis.
Speaking of injuries, although he has been named in this week's ins for what will be Wednesday night's midweek game over in Perth, Jack, what's doing? Is he alive?
So he hasn't travelled to Perth, but Goofy's come out and said that he will he'll get minutes on Saturday or Sunday against the Jets. So he'll get minutes against the Jets, obviously in preparation for potentially a few outs, which is the next thing on the around the grounds. But yeah, hasn't travelled to Perth from what we understand.
Speaking of players going to be out, and this, am I right, Jonathan? This is going to be really shit timing. Ollie Rooster missed 3 games. Corey, Jake, and the Sydney Messi, Jordan Courtney Perkins. all if selected, but of course, all three were recently in the Ollie Roos team anyway. So
that's Sydney bias against Sean.
Yeah.
Even when we're like not doing well, we still have heaps of players getting chosen. I don't know. Jules, what do you reckon? Like Corey Holman, it was his first camp, I'm pretty sure, for the national teams a few weeks ago. He's probably one that may not get selected in that Asian Cup squad. But I reckon JGR and Courtney Perkins are locks.
Yeah, I think they're nailed on, to be honest. So we've got to think about how that looks. I think I was talking to my old man, and he's good for outlandish claims, but he's claiming that, you know, Girdwood Reich and Matthews are the best centre back pairing in the league. And I was like, oh, I kind of can't argue with it, to be fair. And for him to be positive about something's pretty fucking rare. So you know,
let alone CFC and something positive.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So no, I think those two are locks. So how many games will they miss? Is it?
So they're available for the Newcastle game, so Perth and Newcastle, and then they miss the rest of the regular season. If the Ollie Roos make the final, they'll miss the first week of finals as well.
Fucking hell. Yeah, well.
I don't think we'll miss. I don't think we lose too much with King coming in.
Sure.
Lose too much.
I'm There's, surprised to hear these words come out of your mouth.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
That's a big compliment.
Gabrielle, I mean, well, Jack, you know, maybe they kind of tag team it on the weekend, on, you know, in future weekends,
yeah.
Jack and Gabrielle. So we'll just have to make do.
Disruption, though. Disruption to, as you said, Jules, what's a burgeoning burgeoning centre-back pairing there?
Yeah.
All right. Done and dusted.
Very good. That's around the grounds. Thanks, Sean. Good job. Oh, do we have to start there? God.
So we lost 4-0.
And yeah, the girls lost 4-0 and nothing else really happened. Okay, cool. Sydney FC 2, Mariners. No. Well, before we get to Sydney FC Melbourne victory in the A-League Women's on the weekend, Sydney FC did have a chance to wrap up the premiership down in Canberra midweek. Crowd of just under 1,000 at McKellar Park in Canberra, ACT. There was a bit of a hangover from the Socceroos the night before, so it was good to see quite a few Sydney FC fans there in numbers. I was lucky enough to get down there myself, as was Michelle. Sky Blue Stories represent. A very clunky performance from Sky Blue Girls in Canberra. And it reminded me a lot of earlier in the season where passes just weren't sticking. We weren't really moving up the field. We had a few chances that we really should have buried and we didn't. I think Courtney hit the post, Mish.
Yeah.
Early
in the
on.
First half.
First half, so that would have been good. I think we had another chance that, a couple of chances that their keeper, was it Chloe Lincoln?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chloe Lincoln.
Had an outstanding game. And, yeah, couldn't get the result down there.
Michelle, but, why can't we score or beat Canberra, but other teams beat them 5-0? Or beat them 6-4. Like, they might concede a lot, but they still score more than.
I liked that the hands up as well.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say the same thing.
I was like, oh, Zoom gestures. Oh, oh, a hand, Sean.
Digital learning
etiquette,
university student.
That wasn't my hand that did that. Okay, right.
It's just, we are so bad in Canberra, like
it's the altitude.
Yeah, it's the altitude. We're always bad in Canberra. I think last year we lost in Canberra as well. Like, we lost to them 2 or 3-1, something like that. And Rollabout Awiyo scored an absolute worldie.
Bogey,
but like
our bogey team, we just fucking can't get over them.
Yeah, always. And this has been a long time. Like, I don't know. I kind of agree as well. Like, we just looked like how we looked at the start of the season, and these last few games have shown that. And I don't know how much of that is because Kirsty is gone, how much that has played into it. Obviously, there's no Maddie Caspers. Like, I don't know. Like, even, like, the bench for the Melbourne victory game was so depleted. Like, there was just no one there. Like,
Zara was on it. Yeah, Kruger, yeah, Shay.
Yeah, but there's 5 players on the bench. Like, that's not a lot of people that you have on the bench, and not a lot of options that you have.
Oh, well, speaking of the game, or maybe just overall, Michelle, I'll be devil's advocate. Have the girls hit a wall? Or is this just an anomaly? And
I don't know. It's hard to say because they played in Wellington. They played so well, right? And they just kind of, everything was clicking. Against Adelaide, they were playing so well. Every pass was sticking, and you know, they probably should have won against Adelaide by like 6 goals. Like, and then against Canberra, we had the chances. We had so many chances. We should have won that game. Chloe Lincoln decides that, you know, the entire season she's been absolutely terrible, but then decides, you know what, it's Sydney FC. Let me turn
Mackenzie Arnold down.
Yeah. And then she decides to play well, you know, but she's been terrible all season long. And then, yeah, she just has a great game. And that's the frustrating part, is that everyone wants to turn it on against Sydney. And then obviously they've got Michelle Heyman on the bench. And I think that's what killed us, because they knew, oh, all right, we have to get a goal in the first half because Michelle Heyman's going to score. And they knew, the girls knew, like, I don't know if they knew fully, but maybe subconsciously they were like, oh, like the second Michelle Heyman comes on, we're done. That's it. And and that's what happened. And I don't know what happened in the Melbourne Victory game, but they were cooked mentally. I think they were just cooked.
John, just a hangover from Wednesday, have the girls hit a wall, or can they get back to winning ways? Or
they look tired. They look tired for mine on Saturday. Sunday, Easter Sunday. Very, very frustrating to watch, and I was always a little bit more anxious, as you always are when you play the Melbourne Victory, whether it's a men's or the women's. I just had a really bad feeling in the morning, and
me too.
I don't know. We had a few chances. We had a few chances. We had a brilliant TIFO in the Cove. Cove was well attended.
Thank you.
It looked fantastic, honestly did. I'm not just saying that because of present company. But unfortunately, I think we were sort of anything but super on the weekend. And Victory, again, a bit like Michelle said, you know, they wanted to spoil the party. They had to get at least a point to lock up finals. You know, with that team, they've significantly underperformed all year. They've had a few injuries like we have, but you look at that lineup, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Chidiak, yeah.
Unbelievable lineup. So have we hit a wall? Oh, maybe, but the fact that we've got 3 weeks off now and Ante will have that time to work a bit of magic, I've still got a bit of confidence there. I still think we can beat anyone in the finals, that's for sure. We can do it. We've got to get back to that period in the middle of the season, even up to the Adelaide game, as Michelle said, and you know, get back to that form and put a couple of goals away, we'll be fine.
I think the hardest team in that finals is going to be the Mariners, actually. Like, the City, to me, they're not very good. The fact that they've won the premiership is just so...
No, but if they had Holly McNamara, they should have won by 20 points, Michelle.
They got Holly Mack.
They would have won by 20 points.
That dopey cunt, Tio, Leo, Zio. I can call him a dopey cunt. I don't care. I don't give a shit.
Anyways.
But it'd be fair to say no team this season has performed overly well.
Inconsistent.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Team has put their hand up and said, you know, come and get us, you know, like, and there's daylight, and then second, third, fourth, fifth. Like,
yeah.
Like, if our team, if the girls had wrapped it up against Canberra or Melbourne, last year's Sydney FC premiers would have beaten this year's Sydney FC.
100%. 100%.
Mm, mm, mm. No disrespect to the girls. Last year's team was, or season's team was pretty special. But I felt like no team this season was a standout.
Western have gone up and down a bit too, Mish. And with Legazzo out, now Hanakeen out.
And Adrian Taranto, you know, their three best players, their three best attacking players, all gone.
And their goalkeeper.
And Hannah Hillary Bill.
Hillary Bill, who was outstanding for them. So for them to finish up where they have is surprising, but I'm not sure they'll be able to kick on in the finals. So, well, yeah, it's really open final series.
For me, like, they were cooked when they lost Hannah Kane. They could not mentally get back into that game against the Westies. Which means if we play them, and I kind of hope we do, because I feel like we'd be able to beat them. The Jets are this like unbelievable like confidence run at the moment. And so while I think we can beat the Jets, I think that they have all the confidence in the world that we don't have. And I think that will play into it mentally. I think Victory has the upper hand if we play them as well, because it's just like they know that they can beat us. And the Mariners, I think we can beat City. Honestly, they don't look that threatening to me, in my opinion. And then I think the Mariners is going to be the toughest one, because we have not beaten them the season, and we lost to them with very controversially, and then we drew with them away. So
the only team, so the only team we can't, the way the final system works this year, the only team we can't play in the semi apart from City is Newcastle. So if Newcastle win, they'll automatically play City because they'll be the lowest ranked winner. So, yeah, fun. Newcastle's the only team we don't play. If Western win, we'll play them. So,
yikes.
You'd rather Western beat them, I think.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's Mariners or victory.
And don't worry, guys. I will be flying down to Melbourne if I have to.
Of course you will. Hey, just a couple of things before we move on from the shit show. What was going on with people running on the pitch? I missed that.
Oh my God, what a nightmare. Basically, so probably with like 10 minutes left to play, some kid jumped on the far side, so like where the bush side is, where those goals are. Yeah, behind the goal. Yeah. Jumped over the fence, ran to the goal, made it to the goalposts, and then stood there and then laughed and then kind of casually jogged back, over the fence. And the security just watched, sat in the corner, just watched.
Watching a free game of football.
It's family friendly.
And then at the end, after everything, the girls had like not even reached the fans yet. It was still like they were still kind of debriefing with each other. This girl ran from like the Mary Street side and ran all the way across and ran over to give Courtney Vine a hug. And then I don't know, the girls looked very confused and like didn't want to actually acknowledge her and didn't want to be around. I don't think Courtney looked very happy that she was, I don't think Courtney even really hugged her. She kind of was like, who are you? And then one of the Sydney training staff saw her, yelled at her and gave her like a shoe motion and told her like go away. Then I saw Jeremy and the trainer and probably a few others yelling at the security, the two security guards that are on the field for not doing their job. Clearly, I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what was said. I was still up in the top bay.
Sounds like we needed more riot police though.
Oh yeah, that'd be fun. But then the girl, she jumped. They did nothing. She jumps back over the fence into
fine.
The crowd. And apparently, I believe Paletti said online in reply to my tweet that the security did find her with her family and as they were leaving and then evicted them from the stadium. But it's like they're already leaving and you've already missed the point of what the problem was.
Did they get fined $5,000 or $2,000?
I don't think so.
Like somebody at Allianz would get fined.
No, I don't think they got anything, to be honest.
That's right.
I don't know.
And obviously what happened to Martina Hingis back in the 90s.
In the tennis?
Yeah. You're too young for that, Michelle.
I mean, sorry, Jules.
Imagine that. Like, they're walking out the stadium. They're like, oh, well, that was nice of you. Like, that was nice that you got to run on the pitch and give Courtney a hug. Yeah, that was great. That was really good. So our security guard steps in front and says, hey, it's not on. You got to get out of here. As you're literally walking out of the stadium.
How dare you?
But, yeah, it's – and this is not something that I blame the club about. Like, this is, like – there's only
security
so much they
shit.
Can do, but the security was, and the thing is, I'll say this as well. Someone had jumped onto the field. I don't remember what game it was, but there was another game, another Sydney FC women's game where someone had jumped onto the field, ran to the goalpost and then ran back over to the fence. And nothing was done and nothing happened. And it's like, we talk so much about player safety and then that happens, you know, what if for now it's fine. But what if that was a crazy stalker? What if she was in love with Courtney Vine and hated Charlotte McLean? You know? I got the same reaction on another podcast.
This is the soap opera A-League Women's podcast that we were talking about we would never do, Michelle.
I'm just saying.
You're going down a rabbit hole, all right? I need you to stop.
Saying, what if?
I need you to. You shouldn't be jealous. You got a hug from Shay. So
what? I'm not saying that I'm going to do it. I'm
don't be
saying
jealous.
If someone.
Don't be jealous.
If
Days
someone...
of our Liberty A League Lives presented to you by.
I'm just saying that
Paramount
this could have
Plus
been
soon.
A very dangerous situation. And the
security.
It could, no, you're
is
right.
True.
You are
the
right.
Security have failed the players, the staff, and the club.
Okay. The security also let underage children line up at the bar I was at and order soft drink, even though the bar people were telling security that they were a bar only.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
And they're like, oh, no, like you can serve them. No, you can't. Anyway. So security wasn't on point on the weekend. But, hey, you know, they're getting paid good money to stand around and watch a game of football, aren't they? So, yeah, moving on. Moving on, the game that never happened and shall never be talked about ever again. Good. Sean, what's next?
We won on Saturday night, though.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why we lost on Sunday.
Shut up. Shut up, Michelle. Someone mute Michelle.
Oh, yeah. Look, I would say the fellas had one of their best games in the Uffy era. A great 2-0 win against Central Coast Mariners, who were pretty dog shit. They were pretty fucking, pretty bland, pretty boring all night.
Did we make them dog shit?
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Jules is nodding.
Great. Like King got like a goal, I think, something. And then Caceres, I think his goal was fucking tits. It was so good.
I haven't heard that for a long time.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah, at times. Sorry, Michelle. Did Anthony or somebody else in the team try? No, Fabio almost had a very similar finish to that minutes prior, but I digress. It was a great game from the lads. It was a very kind of a, look, first half, it was all down one end, wasn't it? Dominated the possession, field position, wasn't really creating a whole amount, but slowly we ground the Central Coast down and got the two goals that were very much deserving. Redders was troubled, of course.
I missed the first half, actually, so I will abstain from talking about that. But Jules, what did you make of it, mate? You know, you've been watching a bit of football lately. You've been working a lot of football lately. But, yeah, what was the difference between the first half and the second half? Was it just the fact that we finished chances? Or
I think it's, yeah, we just wore them down, to be honest. I think it was when you're that dominant for that long of a period in a game, I think it's just very draining for the team who were basically the first half, they were parked in their half for probably 80% of it. And when I say their half, I'm probably being pretty kind to Mariners, to be honest. I think they were probably in their if you split the pitch into four like zones, then they were definitely in their furthest back zone. Like they were basically in their D block. So yeah, there's no way that you can sustain that much pressure for that long, even if you're playing a low block. Yeah.
I would have thought, like we've seen managers in the A-League before, you know, sort of come out and say, oh, I don't care. Like, you know, we're always going to play that way. That's the way we play. But I would have thought Mark Jackson, you know, a bit more of a seasoned pro, you know, I would have thought he would have realised exactly what was happening and sort of tried to mix it up. But it didn't seem that he changed much at all.
No, I don't think he did. It's, I don't know. It's probably hard in a way because I just feel like we did have a very, very good night. Like everything that we would like to do probably worked exactly how Uffie would have drawn it up, almost like to a T. Like the amount of times we won the ball high was ridiculous.
I didn't find it was that ruthless pressing like we saw again. What was it? Was it Western United or was it Wellington?
There was Wellington,
pressing from us. I just think that the fellas pressed well, but it was just like we kept our shape, moved really well as a team, and just maintained a really high level of intensity in all areas of the park. But in saying that, I still think, and I mean this with the utmost, like I say it as a compliment, I still think the guys have another gear or two within them, you know, to go further, to go better. I wouldn't call it a masterclass, but it was a very good, solid, you know, convincing win from the lads. But I still think we can be better.
Before we talk about the goals, boys, obviously Jaden Kaczarski subbed at halftime. Not the first time that it's happened that way, or previously, I think we've seen Fabio come off at halftime. Reading a bit into that, that Wolfie wasn't happy, or do you reckon he just told JK to run his guts out and, you know, that was a pre-planned thing?
Well, can I ask you, Jules, as you're the special one, like I feel for number nines, like was Jaden...
Don't expand on that. Don't expand on that.
I was almost cancelled. Seriously. Fuck me dead. Seriously, that was, yeah. We have to cut this, lads. That's fine.
But like with Jaden as the nine, like did he have a poor first half or did he get poor, like a lack of service? Was he a bad number nine and not looking for the ball, making the runs, or did the ACs and brats and the lollies and the like not get in the ball?
Oh, I think honestly, I think the change was more of a tactical one and the way we sort of built up and utilized the nine. We know that, like, if you're going to play JK, I mean, yeah, you can play him with his back towards goal, but he's also very comfortable with where you play him in front and you make those sort of wider runs from central into wide zones. But I feel like the way we attacked in the second half probably changed a little bit, using a bit more width from natural plays that are already wide. So I think it was more of a tactical thing. I don't necessarily think he had a great first half, but I certainly don't think he had a bad enough first half where it was a decision of, well, mate, you're getting hooked because you're dog shit sort of thing. I don't think that was the case.
He had a golden opportunity.
He had a good shot.
He had a golden opportunity, didn't he, that went straight at Vuka?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Which we've seen.
I don't think he was that bad. I don't think he was that effective. He probably wasn't showing enough.
Yeah.
But maybe that was also because, I mean, if you're the hard thing for a nine is if you are getting the ball, if you basically pin them back into their own half, then you haven't got a lot of room to really work with in terms of running them behind. So, and that is his game.
It'd be interesting to ask Wolfie, whether it was pre-planned or whether it was, you know, he wasn't quite doing, you know, what he was asked. So that would be a really interesting question. But I think, Jules, what you just said then for me about not showing enough, I think that's becoming a bit of an issue for JK. A bit worried about that because we saw what he can do. We saw Adelaide United in round four and him absolutely... and the Australia Cup, absolutely tear it up. And even early on in the Talle era, his pressing was outstanding. He was probably one of the leaders of the line. So, yeah, but whether he should be playing a bit deeper and, like you said, actually giving himself a bit more space, that might be a bit more of his game, I reckon. So, yeah, it's be a good question for Talle, actually, whether he's happy with what's going on there or not. And We might get the answer on Wednesday night against Perth Glory.
I was just looking at some of that. I mean, sometimes the stats can be a little bit, like they're, you know, paralysis by analysis type of stuff, like too much, you know, too many measurements. But, you know, even just looking at, you get a fairly good sense of his lack of involvement when you look at some of the stats, like shots on target was one, shots in total was one. I only had 15 passes in the whole first half, like, which was the lowest. So you can sort of see that, you know, he's only actually, sorry, Redmayne was the lowest, but he had 9 passes. So, you know, and he's up the end, which is getting no action basically in that first half. So yeah, he probably isn't showing enough, which is a shame. Like, I really want him to do well as well, JK. I think everybody kind of does. It's a bit of a cult hero without being a cult hero just yet. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Let's talk about the real positive stuff, which were the two goals that eventually came. The dam wall burst, so to speak. The dike was released by someone pulling their finger out, Sean.
What was that?
The little
Back
boy
on.
with the finger in the donkey. Yeah.
Oh.
Damn walls bursting.
Cancel. Okay, cancelled.
Don't, yeah.
So, translation, Anthony Casera scored a really good goal.
Yeah, basically, that's what I was trying to say in a roundabout kind of
Yeah,
way.
Lolly, doing his thing out on the right, kind of cuts back in, and just like a real kind of, I don't know, like a poacher's goal, just nipping there near the far post, near the near post, and just Johnny on the spot, and just a nice deft touch of the ball using the pace of it to beat Vuca. And like where our seats are, we got like the perfect view of it. Like I said earlier, a similar chance Fabio had, and it was just like a bee's dick short of knocking it in. And then Anthony's like, "Hold my beer, I'll show you how to do it." And I got up, I was like, "Oh guys, that was our 1,000th goal." And I was like, "No." I went off
Nerd.
early.
Nerd.
Yeah, I had SFC stats up on my phone,
It
Yeah. No, that was a great goal. Very
was a great goal, but I've got a question for all of you. Was Joe Lolly on drugs in that second half?
He is
Because
Englishman and probably does.
fucking hell. He was so good. Michelle, how good was he?
All those blocks of cocaine they've been washing up on the northern beaches of eastern suburbs.
A brick's found its way to Bondi, is that what you're
Yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was.
Oh,
Yeah.
really?
Like, I'm not joking. Yeah.
There's been heaps of the northern beaches, I'm
Oh,
sure.
dear. I'll have to work it
I don't
out.
know. Can not confirm nor deny.
Was wondering why you're a bit late today, Michelle.
That wasn't my fault.
Joe Lolly, Michelle, second half in particular, he was a man possessed.
I think he is. They brought it up in the press conference about how he's in a bit of a goal drought. And I think he took that personally and said, "Well, screw you guys." But then he didn't score. So all that for nothing. But
Tell you what, he did everything but.
he did
He did
everything except
everything
score.
but.
But
I could give a fuck if he doesn't score, to be honest, if he puts in performances
if
like
he
that.
fucking plays like
Could give
that,
a fuck.
exactly.
But
Yeah,
I think it's
100%.
I think it's because he's looking for that goal, right? Like, I think it's because he's, everyone's been like, "Well, Joe was scoring all the goals at the start of the season." But it's also, how good is it that we don't have to rely on
Yeah.
Joe Lolly being the
True.
only person scoring a goal? So,
100%.
and I think that is good. That's a good thing.
True.
Yeah. And we were saying that at the start of the season. The exact opposite is we're relying on Joe Lolly. That's
Yeah.
it. So no, I can't speak highly enough of his 45 minutes there. I really just every touch, every movement, every position that he turned up in was absolute A plus, 10 out of 10. And it makes you really, really happy that we've re-signed him for a couple more seasons. So yeah, outstanding performance by Joe Lolly and a brilliant finish, Sean, as you said, by AC.
Argentinian
Oh,
Messi. Yeah.
Argent the Argentinian Messi. Maybe he should be
Valid.
in Socceroos contention, Sean.
He's not even Argentinian. I hate when you guys do this. It triggers me so much.
Paraguayan?
Do. It's just for you, Michelle.
Guyana?
Think you understand how much it triggers me.
¿Qué?
Stop it, Joe.
¿Por
Grow
qué?
up.
Anyway, we scored another goal, Sean.
Yeah, that's not important.
To
So,
make it
Joe,
2-0. It's not
one
important.
on us, if you will.
We scored
Yeah,
4 minutes after the first goal. Sydney FC men's all-time 1,000th goal, thanks to Rowdy for keeping everyone informed on SFC stats. Joel King, guys, like, can I just say his first strike that Caltech kamikazed and threw his body in front of on the line
what a block.
was a brilliant shot, a fantastic defensive block. But in that split second, I've gone, Joel King's just never going to fucking score a goal. Like, he's come close so many times. He's hit posts. And then Brian Kalthak decides, not today. But then thankfully, it came straight back to him. Avuka was a bit, I guess, caught off guard. And it wasn't a tap-in, was it?
I'll tell you, well, I think that's just as good of a strike as the first one. The way it's come to him, at the pace it's come to him, he's hit it first time. No, that's been tough to do. I thought that was a top finish from Joel, which is obvious. Like, he wouldn't have, that was not on the bingo card, obviously.
No. But no, and you don't even been on the pitch, well, you know, you'd only been on the pitch about 10 minutes as well. But yeah, outstanding. So happy for Kingy. You know, he's one of our own. You know, he loves the club, and you know, he's got a fight on his hands at that left back spot, which is a good thing for him, I think. It was great. It was brilliant to see him getting up really high on that left wing before and after the goal. So obviously had clear instructions there, and you know, you could almost say that JCP, Courtney Perkins, has laid a bit of a foundation there and a bit of a challenge for him. So yeah, it is great to see. And Sean, you pointed out earlier that, you know, if Courtney Perkins does go away with the Oli Roos, which we're assuming he will, but you know, barring injury, we've got Joel King to step in.
Yeah, he can step in, all right.
Not Joel King about it.
Oh, terrible.
Terrible.
You're gonna get cancelled for your bad comedy chips. Cancelled for your bad comedy. Before we do SFCU votes, though, guys, I just wanted to go on a bit of a rant so you guys can all, I don't know, have a schnapps or something. This is important to me because I think it's a greater problem than just the playing surface. It's you know, it's the stadium as a whole, but let's not beat around the bush. The surface on the weekend was atrocious. It was shocking, right? It was torn up. It was had lines all over it. Stud marks everywhere. Discoloration. It was just not a good surface for football. Whether you were playing on it or watching on it, really, right? Because, you know, we're all about product at the moment. With the APL, and the product was shithouse. You know, Evergreen Turf, before I get to Evergreen Turf, but the thing is, this isn't the first time that this has happened this season, nor is it the fifth time it's happened. Like, this is happening way too often. And, you know, we've only been back for 18 months now, and you could rattle off, you know, how many times we've gone, wow, that's a great looking surface at Allianz Stadium. It's just not good enough. Evergreen Turf, who provided the initial playing surface, said that they had 2.5 fields worth of turf grown, ready for the stadium to be moved in at any time. They said it could be laid in the day and played on at night. That's what their director said. It's not just the pitch though, right? Initially, and Jules can attest to this, we had hundreds of members initially put off when the allocated seats were obstructed by glass or perspex and no suitable alternative offered initially from the club. A lot of foundation members and a lot of long-time members pled that they wouldn't recommit until it was sorted out, if it could be sorted out at all. Now, not only did that process take too long to sort out, much to the frustration of the Sydney FC fan base, but a lot of members simply didn't return or didn't renew because their seats were shit or they were blocked. And that was hopeless. And look, to be fair to the club, since then they have tried to get involved and fix a few of those issues. Aside from that, we've had this grandiose offer of all these wonderful, highly expensive and fancy catering options, only to turn up to a few games with less than half the shops open. An issue, again, I must say, the club got heavily involved with, and they have, you know, advocated on behalf of the fans, and it's improved slightly over time. We've not got, nor ever will we have, the LED curtain that was promised. All three primary tenants in Sydney FC, the Sydney Roosters, and the New South Wales Waratahs, all wanted it and were all quoted as saying that it was a key design feature that led them to agree to the redevelopment as it was. Add in the fact now that thanks to the New South Wales Labor government, who initially opposed the stadium being rebuilt in the first place, have now lifted the concert cap to 20 per year from just 4. And the fact that the Sydney FC women's team aren't included in the current lease agreement with the club, and therefore, should they wish to hire the venue, Sydney would need to spend more on one game for the hiring fees than they do on the entire season of the A-League women's squad salaries. So where are we? Like, I see this as a medium long-term problem for the club, because we can't continue to have surfaces like that. It's embarrassing, right? Those other issues, again, the club has worked with the fans, it's worked with the stadium to try and improve some of them, but the surface needs to be football ready. And way too many occasions, whether it's been because of Robbie Williams or Paul McCartney or whoever it might be, now it's because of the New South Wales Waratahs playing a double header the day before and the Sydney Roosters playing the night before. You know, Allianz proudly celebrating on their socials that they've got four games in Sydney over 3 days. Sorry, it's bullshit. No football fan wants it. And once again, we're left holding the bag. So anyway, I don't know what to say. Like, we want to play at Allianz Stadium. We want to play at Moore Park, but there just needs to be improvement in the football. Football first, right? That's what APL's saying, and hopefully that's what we've heard Mark Aubrey say as well, CEO of Sydney FC. So let's hope that the club can have an effect on this in the future, and get in touch with Evergreen Turf that promised that they would have suitable grass able to be laid and played on at nighttime.
Well, what I saw of the Roosters, I wasn't really playing. But that aside, I guess what you need is a boutique 15,000 to 20,000 seater stadium. Whether that's, you know, that's purely for Sydney FC men's, women's, NPL. But how is that possible? Like, I'd love to have that, for that to be the case, but where would it be? And
well, we have stadiums. It's just whether or not they actually want to upgrade them, like Leichhardt, where the government does not want to put any money into it, and then that's going to go as well. It's, you know, like, that's where we play, the women's team plays.
Yeah, I love it there.
And yeah, I love Leichhardt. I think it's great. I think the pub nearby could be better, but at least it's cheap. But if no one puts any money into Leichhardt Oval, it's going to go, and the facilities there are trash. It's terrible. But these boutique stadiums that we want, there's nowhere to build them. We can't.
Yeah.
There's nowhere. Like, where are you going to build it? We live in a city. There's no land.
That's all right. They'll just compulsorily acquire a golf course and make it a public park. It's all good. ask Mark Wahlberg about it. But anyway, guys, like I said, it frustrates the hell out of me. I just want it to be better. I just want us to be better. I want us to have nice grass to play on, and you know, week to week. And yeah, okay, one game a season, if it's like that, yeah, cool. No worries. But it's happening way too often. And what's the point of, you know, promising all these fancy, you know, extra turf being grown or whatnot if you're not going to bring it in these specific occasions when you know that the load on the pitch is going to be so high? It's just nuts. Anyway, just me. On that note, SFCU votes.
Sydney, I'm FC giving all my six, two each to the midfield with Brad Sacy and Coleman. Holman. C. Holman.
Wow.
Hans Molman. I just thought they.
Coleman.
Reason why we played so well was that those three just dominated the midfield. They were quite brilliant, all three.
Julian?
I will go with three for Lolly, two for Caceres, and one for Bratz, who I thought was real fucking workhorse and kept it going along.
Mish?
I'm going to go three for Lolly, two for Caceres, and one for Kingy.
Oh, nice. I'm similar. I'm three for Lolly, although I was tempted to give him six, but I'll be nice. Three to Lolly, two to Cass, and one to Hayden fucking Mertzacker. Hayden Matthews. I thought he was outstanding. absolutely outstanding. And he's genuinely someone that, you know, I don't want him to have a lot to do, but I look forward to watching him play because I just think he's so astute and so confident for such a young bloke. And he's doing really, really well. So shout out to Hayden Matthews.
We've got games this week. We've got two of them. By the time this pod comes out, it'll be less than 12 hours till we play the Perth Glory. It'll be Wednesday night, 9:45 their time.
Our time.
Is it?
At 9:45 our time, which of course, yeah, sorry, yeah.
My son will be asleep. That's good.
Perth rotate. Yep.
I will be home from boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get that right hook. You're going to be like Tim Zhu.
But I'll win.
Yeah, but you're
sorry, Tim.
I'm telling you said that.
No, he's definitely
listening. Oh, he's a big fan. Huge fan.
I see him down here. We're like mates. Yeah.
Die hard.
Yeah. Sydney FC fan.
So look, against Perth, we'll jump ahead a little bit to Newcastle just this weekend, but two teams that we're playing this week that are in the bottom half of the table that I dare say will finish that way as their season progresses. There's no reason why, arrogance aside and whatnot, but our recent performances, there's no reason why that these two games shouldn't be accumulation of 6 points by the time our heads hit the pillow on Sunday night. Mm. Fair to say? 6 points?
It'd be nice.
6 point week.
We actually play Glory again this season before we round out, which is a bit odd. But Perth away, it's going to be difficult. But we touch wood, we've got a pretty good record over there. From memory, I saw some good clips from our mate Robbie with Alf and a few others putting some bangers in. So yeah, I'm with you, Sean.
We've got a full squad. Yeah.
Newey Jets, Jules, away on the weekend.
7th of April, 3 p.m. up at Newcastle.
Banana skin? I think,
I don't know. Maybe I'm being arrogant, but I really feel like this is the time where we need to probably accelerate a little bit if we want to get that third. I think second's still there, but it's getting harder because the Mariners won tonight. I think it was tonight, wasn't it?
Oh, so, I didn't see the result.
Yeah, so they won 2-1. So they're on 43. We've got a game in hand, and we're on 34. It's not undoable. It's not. Yeah, we can still do it, but it's getting a little bit tighter now.
Mm.
So with this being our game in hand, I think if we win, we move up to fourth, which is great. And we'll only be 1 point off third, with victory. So realistically, these are two games that are, as this point in the season where we are, they're must wins if we want to get that top three and get a little bit of an easier leg in to the finals. I mean, if we got top three and it's the rest of the competition stopped exactly where they were, then we'd be playing Wanderers in the semi, which would be fucking pretty nice.
No, I was just playing around with the lower hand thing. I don't want to say anything. Sorry.
Inappropriate use of Zoom signals.
Both those teams are sitting 10th and 11th, so why not 6 points?
Be good. Look, I think Perth will be probably the bigger challenge just because of the travel. You know, Stadge there, a couple of ex-Sydney FC alum in Stadgic and Robbie Sten coming up against their former side. So, yeah, it'd be a challenging week. Fuck, I'll show you, bite your hand off if you told 6 points were coming. Look, jokes aside, looking forward to seeing hopefully Jack Rodwell get a few minutes against the Jets on the weekend. What do you reckon, Doug? I mean, Jules?
Yeah.
You agree?
I agree, 100%.
Outstanding. Michelle, you're not travelling to either of these places?
I'm going to Newcastle.
You are?
Yeah.
Very good. Outstanding.
I'll be heading up there. I will not be going to Perth in the middle of the week.
At short notice? No.
No. Maybe if it was the women's team, I would.
Yeah.
You're too vital to your job, so that, you know, you can't be going midweek.
True.
And Newcastle, you're already about a third of the way there.
Yeah, it's only like 2 hours, less than that.
Northern Beach is alone. Very good. We've already covered the possibility of the girls' semi in a few weeks' time, so we'll talk about that at a later stage. NPL back in action this weekend against Marconi, Sean, who are flying pretty high.
No, sorry, I forgot to change that title. If you look just below it, Jonathan.
My apologies.
Yeah, I should edit my work. But we've got Blacktown City at Landon. Which is that's Lily Holmes, isn't it?
Usually good at picking up your fuck ups, actually.
Yeah, that's Lily. Was Lily. It still is. Yeah, it's Landon Stadium now. Saturday, 6th of April, 3 PM kickoff. The lads haven't been, obviously we had last weekend off, as you mentioned earlier, Jonathan, due to a lot of the boys being away. So Blacktown inconsistent. More wins than we've been having. I think we've had one win in our last five. So
they got another pretty strong lineup. They always have a strong lineup, Blacktown.
Yeah, you know, they're sitting fifth at the moment, coming off a draw and a couple of wins. It's going to be tough, but I still think the lads could take something out of it. Maybe, you know, take a draw away. It'd be great just for a bit of confidence moving forward.
To see the lineup after.
I can't believe who's sitting atop of the standings, Jonathan.
Yeah, I see no one above Marconi.
Yes, it ends there.
No one that counts anyway. No, they've won. Westies have got a pretty talented NPL setup. I mean, most of them are ex Sydney FC players, so
yeah,
it's only natural.
Yeah, Sapsford made team of the week over the weekend.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, that's fine. All right, it's been a long pod, so let's wrap it up with a who's that Sydney FC player. So special edition, guys. Special edition. I'm on fire tonight. Ooh. Intros, rants, everything. So I thought we'd do a special edition because at one point, our dear listeners, we thought we would have a full cast of Sky Blue Stories hosts for you for the first time ever. We at one stage we're looking at having five of us. We've only got three. Well, we've got four, but three that will be playing this game. So instead of the usual picking on someone individually, you guys have to work as a team. How might you ask? Well, you each will get one question. Question can be anything. But you each get one question, and I'll allow you a bonus question because Rojas isn't here. So you get four in total.
Ooh.
And you need to narrow down to who you think the Sydney FC player is. Does that make sense?
Yes. So we need to guess who the player is.
You need to guess who the player is. One question each. One question each. What order you go in and everything, it's completely up to you. So if you don't get it, we'll leave it open to socials and let someone on the socials have a stab, but we'll see. So you guys, away, go.
Oh, we ask you questions.
Yeah, this is a conundrum we're in, Sean.
Is this a, like a...
Guess who?
Yeah.
It's like guess a little who. Bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
Be good. But only, there's a board game. There's only a board one game question for each. Sydney FC.
There you go.
All right. Can I discuss with my teammates what questions to ask?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Jules and Michelle.
Mm.
How we just say, are they male or female? Like the A League.
That's a good one. That was one I thought of as well. Yeah.
Is that fair?
I'm good with that. Yep. I'm good with that.
Jonathan, are they? What was previously, you know, Liberty? What was it before? W League. Either or, but were they?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. A League women's, including W League or A League?
Is a male person. It's a male person. So, yeah, try and be specific. If I have a hint, try and be specific with your questions.
Okay.
Because then you'll get a specific answer.
Maybe there's something in that as well, the way he's answered that. he said male person. You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't it say like
they are a player? They are a former player. I will give that away. I will give that away. No, that's fair. We always do players. We always do players.
Fair enough.
One question from Michelle and one question from Jules, plus a bonus one that you guys can discuss after you arrive.
I have no brain right now.
Right now?
I'm tired. Hey, don't be mean.
So something maybe what position they play.
That's not a bad one.
Foreign or domestic? That,
yeah. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, either position or if they're... No, that's still too big of a door. I was going to say if they're in the current squad or not, but that's probably too... I reckon we should do
three broad questions and then...
Maybe like...
Rojas one should be more specific.
What years?
Yeah, okay.
Something about the years.
Mm.
The seasons they played.
Oh, what about if we ask, have they won a championship? Because then we can narrow it down.
I like the way you think.
That's a good one.
Now, when this... Okay. Premier's played or like the whole shindig toilet seat?
Have they won a A-League grand final? Because we've won. Well, what if we won less? Oh, no, that should cover. Okay, now that should cover a lot. Because we've won.
We've got 5 grand finals, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that should, and across very like different eras.
All right, I'll go to that.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to ask.
But how would we frame that question, though? With what
year? I like this. This is turning the cogs here.
Did they play before?
What years did they play?
Yeah, were they in the 90s or the 80s? No, the 80s wouldn't exist. Sorry.
What?
90s wouldn't
90s
exist.
Wouldn't exist either.
NSL.
What about how many years they played?
Like more or less than
I'm gonna need a second question, guys. It's not good podcasting.
You're the one who came up with this idea.
It is actually. So you, it sounds like you got a theme, like you like years or premierships or trophies.
I like premierships. Which one? Let's go. I like that one.
Championship, sorry.
Championship, and that might help narrow down years.
So what is the specific question, please?
Have they won a championship? Have they won the toilet seat? Were they part of a they a part of a winning team, a part of the match day team that won a Premier's plate?
The match day team that won a Premier's plate or toilet seat?
A toilet seat championship.
All right. They have definitely won one. I will need to check whether they were in the match day squad for the game.
There you go. There's one. So no multiple winners.
They have definitely won. Give me
Ryan Grant.
Uno Memento. I'm just going to chuck in my weekly reference of sfcstatistics.com. And I will confirm whether or not they were a part of the game. Hence, I can feel you guys like just waiting.
With bated breath.
They were not a part of the grand final winning squad or match day squad.
What?
So that's a very good question. Very good question, guys. Very good question. So we've confirmed male player won a ring and they did not play in, nor were they on the bench in the grand final.
That's one question. That's
a great question.
That's only two questions asked. That revealed three things.
So we got
one question.
So who's asked? Yeah, so we got two more questions.
Come on, Michelle. Use that brain.
That was a team effort, that one as well. I think Michelle came up with it though. So well played.
I don't think I did anything.
Yeah, that's true. Stephen Bradbury.
As always.
Do you ever do anything?
No. Stop being mean to me.
Sorry.
What about I don't mind the position thing. because then it's further narrowing down that, because then you can probably go through the match, the squads of those year, and then go, okay, what's this position that wasn't involved in the match day squad for the grand final, maybe?
So what did my answer? I really want to help you guys, but I don't. What did my answer reveal? Did it reveal?
You revealed that they weren't a part of the match day squad in the one championship that they won.
Okay, but they still could have played multiple seasons.
They could have, but if we narrow it down to if we ask the position thing, then we're able to go to the championship seasons and think about the fringe players in that position.
Position could be a difficult. It's a good. I think it's good. Definitely narrows it down, but it could be difficult. Like,
I think the years.
Am I saying forward?
Yeah, years. Years. Actually, Sean, that's
forward, midfielder. I don't know. But if you say years, you've sort of wasted a question about the championship. You should have just said, "Hey, what years did they play?"
That's a bit of a yes or no answer.
No, it doesn't. I'll answer anything.
Where was this?
Who's just the player?
No one said it was yes or no, Sean. No one said it
Who's
was yes.
Who's the player, Jono?
Who is the player? Damn question. It. Damn it. Good question. Damn you, Jules. No, except that one.
All right.
You can say years if you want. You can say years if you want.
Yeah. From what year to what year did they play for us?
Okay. So their first appearance for Sydney FC was in 2005. Their last appearance for Sydney FC as a part of a match day squad was in 2007.
So they won the first championship. Okay, that narrows it down. Wasn't in the match day squad though for the championship. Okay.
Getting close, I reckon.
Yeah.
You've got one more question.
Yeah, that's before we ask who it is as well.
You've done well. You've done better than I thought you guys would. Michelle's too young for this person, maybe.
Oh, he's too old for her.
That's true. He could be too old for her.
Man, this podcast's been fucked up.
Where have you been, Jules? Missed you. I mean, I have. I'm not sure about the other two.
No, you know what? I'm a fucking pain in the ass.
So let's summarize. It's a 2005 A-League Championship winning player that did not appear in the grand final itself. They played from 2005 to 2007 for Sydney FC. And they are, in fact, a man.
I think I know the end. Jules, can I message Jules the answer?
Well, you've got one more. You've got one more question. You could narrow it down.
All right.
You could say, well, you guys know.
I'm pretty confident.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I mean, if we know,
know
that,
the
if
answer.
We,
I'm pretty confident.
If we,
he's foreign.
If we ask,
pretty sure he's foreign. Jules.
Well, if he's foreign, there was only four foreigners in the team. There was only four foreigners in the team. So that really narrows it down for that 05-06 winning season. That really narrows it down.
He's got an ethnic name, but I think he was born here. Which actually is
so
like...
He's Australian. So he's Australian.
Jesus.
And I'm pretty sure
that was on the bingo. That was the bingo card.
Brainiac.
That's the racism
genius over here.
I got a Chinese grandmother. I can say
genius
that.
Genius at work. All right, you're allowed one more question. You can discuss the question with Jules and Michelle.
He's a forward, or was a forward.
Okay. Have you messaged
by
me?
Asking that question.
Oh, do you want me to message you? Okay.
No. Actually, that's a good point. Why don't we just go position? We know now We know the year.
Oh, okay.
Position.
Yeah. Hey, helpful.
What position does he or did he play, Jonathan?
Specific position or like forward, midfield, defense?
Specific
position.
Mentioned specific earlier for us to be okay. Specific.
He was a number 9.
Okay.
All right. I think
he was definitely a striker.
Okay, well, I can tell you, right, it's going to be David Zrilic, Sasha Petrovsky. This is just players. Tolga Ozbe. Why, York, obviously not. And Alejandro Salazar.
I would say those four names again.
David Zrilic.
Yeah.
Sasha Petrovsky.
Yeah, okay.
Ozbe. Oh, John. Fucking hell. I'm going to have a Robbie Slater coma if I pronounce something with three syllables. I'm not even going to attempt that.
Buonavoglio, is that who you're talking about?
That's the one we're talking about.
Okay.
I got it, Jules.
You got it?
Yeah. It was the second name you mentioned.
What was the second name you mentioned?
Yeah.
You reckon you got it?
Yeah. I'm quite like, what do
we got one more question?
No, that's it. No more questions.
That's it.
So okay, who's that pokey Sydney FC player?
Sasha.
Go on, Sean.
Sash.
Incorrect.
Oh,
fuck off.
Incorrect. You sounded like you had it. You sounded like you had it, Sean.
05 to 07. He wasn't in the match day squad in 05.
He was actually in the match day squad. He played the grand final.
Gee.
Yeah, you fucked that up. The answer was, in fact, David Zrilic. So you got very, very close. I won't leave that to the socials because they would have gotten. Jules is upset. Jules is upset. I even gave you a hint and said he was definitely a number 9.
No, yeah,
Zrilic. Zrilic.
I saw a Zrilic goal, and nobody believed me. So it goes.
Not so close, Sean. So close. So close. Well done, Michelle.
Thanks. I did a lot of the heavy lifting here.
Hey, you went down the years path, and yeah, that got them.
Matty Caspers of the pod.
And they clearly didn't want to listen to what I said.
The girl. The girl. It's been a very anti-girl podcast.
Yeah, I've been bullied this whole podcast.
What years did you say David Zrilic played for us? 05 to
just
07.
Just don't rabbit punch me.
I did say.
When I go to shake your hand next.
Don't worry, I'll show you what I've been learning in boxing.
I was about to say, it's going to beat the shit out of all of us. While we're on that, Michelle, did you want to do a shout-out for your corporate fighter event?
Yeah, there'll be more details coming when I start the official like fundraiser portion of it.
Yep.
But basically, yeah, I'll have a fight in May.
May, soon.
Yeah. Raising money for the Starlight Foundation. And there will be a fundraiser. So if you want to donate money, you can. If you donate at least $20, you can get the live stream link to watch me fight. There are tickets available to come watch me fight live. It's 18 plus. And it is pretty pricey, I won't lie.
Is there alcohol included?
I believe so. I think it's like a full dinner there and everything. And yeah, cool. It's a black tie event. So you know, sky blue ball, but a fight
fighting
in the middle of it.
But fighting. I love it.
But fighting.
So sometimes that's just the sky blue ball.
But yeah, so if you want to come, let me know. I only have 10, well now 8 tickets left on my one of my tables.
Oh, okay.
I will be getting another table later on if anyone is keen. But yeah, it is like I said, it's pretty pricey, but it is a whole night of boxing, dinner, and just enjoyable
watching you beat the shit out of someone.
Yeah, we hope so.
In the nicest way possible.
Making them see starlights, if you
want. Oh, Jules, you're cancelled.
Terrible.
Never come back. Never come back. No, that's great. So keep it. Reach out to Michelle, or I'm sure you'll post a few links to it as it gets a bit closer. But no, good on you for putting your body on the line, and for a good cause. So well done to you on that. Sean, anything else on your radar for today?
Editing after this.
Editing. It's been a longish one. I blame Jules. Talks too much.
Yeah.
Look, get out there this week or this weekend. Try and get up to Nui if you can. Support the boys. Like we said, the girls are out for a few weeks. Lovely Saturday afternoon at Blacktown if you're in the area. So go and see Blacktown Sydney. City play Sydney FC NPL. Quick shout out, got a random message through for a quick shout out to Adrian Porky. Let's say a quick g'day to you. Hope you're enjoying life in the UK or Bulgaria, I think, at the moment where you may be. So hope you're having a great time. Thanks for listening. And that's us for the week. Ladies and gents, we'll talk to everyone again very soon.